This is Living the RV Dream, episode 143 for Friday, May 15th, 2020.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers! Hello, fellow pelican heads! Happy travelers around the world! Well, we'll be happy soon. Things are slowly but surely starting to open up, and we'll see to what extent that materializes. But yeah, travel planning is travel planning season right now. And actually, before that, 143, episode 143. So the show notes will reside at travelingrobert.com/podcast/0143. And for those of you, if you guys ever had a beeper in your younger years, do you know what 143 meant in beeper talk? You know, we used to have all kinds of coded messages with the beepers or pagers. And if you know what 143 was, send me a comment and tell me about it. As far as trip planning, actually, my wife discovered a great website that I want to share with you, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes. It's called the COVID-19 travel. What's the full name? Travel restrictions, and it's a color coded map that tells you which states have like a stay-at-home order. Some of them are reopening with restrictions. And it even goes down, the granularity is great. It goes down to like counties and even like citywide travel restrictions. There are certain cities within a state that otherwise would be open that have restrictions. Same with Florida. Most of Florida is open, but you know, Southeast Florida here, Miami, Dade County, Broward and Palm Beach, they still have travel restrictions like masks required and beaches closes, for example. The rest of the beaches in Florida, most of them are open, but down here, no. And then it shows you on the state borders, where do they have checkpoints? Like I'm checking here in Florida, and it says I-95 southbound upon entering Florida, each arriving traveler or a responsible family member, if traveling as a family, will be required to complete a travel form. The form requires key information, including a traveler's contact information, trip details, and failure to complete this form and follow any isolation or quarantine order from DOH are a violation of Florida state law, for example, that kind of thing. So Texas has a bunch of them if you are coming from Louisiana. And you know, I'm gonna put a link in the show notes because it's kind of a fascinating map to see. And if you are doing any kind of travel planning, this is a map that you should be looking at. You know, there's a travel checkpoint, and you know, like the tribal areas, you know, like the Native Americans, like the Taos people, they have in Taos, New Mexico, they have checkpoints, and all over South Dakota, they have travel checkpoints. And what I read in South Dakota, for example, is that if you're just driving through the Indian reservation, they'll let you through. But if your intention is to stay there, you have to have a reason to stay there. So essential travel only. I'm going to put a link. It's part of the gds.maps.org. It's a long address. I'll put a link in the show notes so you guys can check it out. It's kind of fascinating to see. I mean, not fascinating, but very informative. In any case, very informative. By the way, today is going to be kind of a short episode of the podcast. I don't have an interview planned. I have some mail, and I was going to share with you guys my kind of new travel plans, but you know, it's like my plan is kind of not to have a plan at this point, because as I shared with you guys in the newsletter last week, some of my plans were to go to Colorado, but while Colorado for residents it's opening up, the Colorado Board of Tourism is still discouraging people from visiting, and many states are like that. In fact, I might spend the first the whole month of May, pretty much. I mean, the May is almost over at this point. The whole month of June, I may spend it in Florida, even though Florida is gonna be becoming more and more miserable weather wise. And you know, work my way up, and eventually the plan, of course, still. If it ever opens back up, it's to visit Glacier National Park, which, by the way, this map that I'm looking at also has all the national parks that are closed or open, and it's all color-coded. Very nice. It's put out by the AAA COVID-19 travel restrictions. Before we continue, let me read some of your mail here. And I have an email here from Diane Keller, and Diane says, I'm sending you a box of travel information with, by the way, I received today. I went to the P.O. box this morning, and I got the box. And she continues, hope you enjoy the stuff. And I'm including a few books, one on Glacier and one on Yellowstone. There's a lot to see in Montana, so I hope you get to come. Right now, things are a little dicey, but hopefully Montana will be pretty well open this summer. We have COVID-19 here, but our governor has done a pretty good job with it. We have a second lowest death rate from it. Alaska is number one, so the gods must be smiling on Montana. I have been homebound since February because of the virus and the old immune comprised category, so being careful, but going to do a few day trips soon. As I went through the travel brochures, I found there are some things not included, so I got the chance, I'll send a few more. And if you don't get here this summer, you will at least have a ton of reading material to keep you entertained. I grew up in Great Falls, Montana, and now I live in Helena, Montana, the capital city, by the way. I'm a state Montana retiree, so I know this area fairly well. Love your videos. I will be able to see the places I've been to, so it's cool that what other places around the country look like. Thank you for what you do. Thank you, and thank you so much, Diane, if you're listening, because I got the box and lots of material. It's going to take me a while to go through all that and lots of brochures. So I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate what you guys do. And a lot of people ask me, how do you do your travel planning, you know? And for the most part, especially lately that I have so many of you writing to me and recommending places, and I finally got organized, and I have like a folder in my email where I put the emails from different states, so it's a lot better. And that's pretty much my number one source these days. You know, I still use roadtrippers.com, by the way, travel planning. One of these days I'm going to do a comprehensive video about travel planning software and programs and resources. It's not all software. You know, when I went to Denver in 2014, I actually bought a paper book, you know, the Moon Guide to Denver. Was it the Moon Guide to walking tours of Denver, Colorado? And that's how I learned a lot of the things that... So there's still a place for Lonely Planet and Moon Guides and all those travel books, for sure. All right, one from Brian. I just purchased a 2017 Colorado, and we want a tonneau cover. Quick question, which brand do you have on your Colorado? I'm a National Park Ranger, 35 years, and I hope to retire next year. I've always wanted to travel via RV and volunteer at National Parks. Well, now I have the truck, and I'm researching for a small travel trailer. Finding your show earlier this year has been great to me. I have loved your vlogs and appreciate your skills and video production. And you are a good musician, too. Love the Saturday Night Mini Teeny Lounge. Thank you for the service you provide to all of us listeners, Brian. And thank you, Brian, for that kind message. And to answer your question about the Colorado, I want to thank Alex Culture Lifestyle Travel on YouTube, because he's the one who recommended and helped me find this tonneau cover, and it's an extant folded what's wrong with me today, extant solid fold 2.0, and It's really good. I mean, it kind of shifted a little bit on the bumpy roads of Death Valley, but I think now I secured it perfectly and it hasn't shifted anymore. So, yeah, absolutely. I like it. Okay, this email from Lacey, and a lot of these emails, by the way, are just, I have a contact form at travelingrobert.com, and most of them are emails that I receive through that link where you guys can send me a message. This one from Lacey, hoping to do a road trip from Pennsylvania to Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park. I have only a week to get to and from. Would like to stop through Nebraska, never been. Any suggestion of places to see and stop en route? Well, definitely in Nebraska, you just watch my video in reverse. Pretty much, that's where I would stop. I mean, it's a week is kind of I don't know. It's kind of tight your timing, but you can do it serendipitously. And have you guys seen that video yet? No, you haven't. That's in the Minneapolis video. I'm working ahead, and my brain right now is a little jumble of things. There's a lot of things going on in my brain. My brain with the videos, and I have a couple of sponsorships. And in any case, I go on a tangent. I found the small town, not so small actually, Hannibal, in Missouri, on the Mississippi River. To be a pleasant surprise, full of Mark Twain history that I didn't get a whole lot of time to like visit the things. Like, I would spend like a whole day. Next time, I'm going to go back. I'm going back. Hopefully this summer I'll make it there. And this time I will go into the museum and into Mark Twain's boyhood home and all that they have there. But that's an extra suggestion that I would do. And now from Keith and Karen Baker. Hi, Robert. My husband and I have been watching your videos, and they are planting a seed in our garden of travel options. Right now, we drive older sedans, and it is getting time to buy a newer vehicle. We're leaning towards SUVs because of their versatility, but notice that in your more recent videos, you drive a truck. Did you ever drive an SUV to tow your Micro Mini? And what do you find the pros and cons of SUVs versus trucks? Thank you so much for any guidance and recommended research resources. Well, one thing, and Keith and Karen from Melbourne, Florida. One thing about SUVs, a lot of modern SUVs, are really cars that look like SUVs. So you have to get something hefty, something like a, I don't know, something body on frame. Yeah, and you have to really look at the towing capacity for that particular SUV, you know, because a lot of the newer ones are four cylinder, front wheel drive, which is not the best option. I used to tow with an older SUV, was that Kia Sorento, old Kia, as I used to call it, which was kind of built like a truck. It was rear-wheel drive with a nice big differential, and it was body-on-frame construction. It was still underpowered to tow the trailer that I had at the same trailer that I still have. It was the 3,000-pound dry trailer, which was probably 445 in the real world, and old Kia could tow 3,500. So, it was underpowered, especially in the mountains. Now, the reason why I got a truck, I still prefer an SUV. To be honest about it, truck people, sorry, I still prefer an SUV for a number of reasons. First of all, all the cargo is enclosed, and I don't care if you put a tonneau cover on a cab cover on a truck, unless you do something special. If you go through a dirt road, that bed back there still gets full of dust and sand because it's not insulated like the interior of an SUV. And I just, you know, like the fact that you can have access to your cargo from inside the SUV. And if you have one of those that have three rows, you can have more people, more capacity inside. The difference, and the reason why I got a truck was mainly price, you know. And I didn't want, if you want to get an SUV with a comparable tow capacity of the same size truck, you're going to be paying $10,000, $15,000 more for the SUV than you are for the truck, or even more. It depends on the price. So, for example, Even an SUV, for example, let's compare kind of apples to apples, the Toyota Tacoma and the Toyota 4Runner. Toyota Tacoma can tow 7,000 pounds. The Toyota 4Runner, which is the SUV version, can tow 5,000 pounds. And still, the SUV, the 4Runner, is much more expensive than the Tacoma. That seems to be the case. You know, you would have to get like a Sequoia to be able to have the same tow capacity as an F-150, for example. So that's my two cents on towing. And by the way, I'm actually, in part at the request of Wanabego, I'm going to do a very comprehensive video about towing very soon here on my YouTube channel. So stay tuned for that one. Now let's hear some of your voicemail.
Robert, my name is Dennis Ito. I just got done watching your Yosemite YouTube experience. I have a question for you. I just bought a 1708 FB. And my question is, you went over Tioga Pass, actually twice. Once going to Yosemite, and then once coming back and going, I think you went up to Reno and stuff like that. But anyway, in your truck, Tioga Pass is very steep. And was wondering how you actually got up there with your trailer. You must have been in really low gear. That's my question. Hope to see to talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, congratulations on the 1708 FB, by the way. And let me tell you something. It wasn't all that bad. I mean, yeah, actually, this new truck, the Colorado, has like a very smart transmission. And even going downhill, if you have it on tow mode and you just like tap on the brake, it downshifts by itself pretty smartly. Sometimes you have to if you really want to go down into third or second gear, you have to do it manually. But especially going downhill, going uphill, it didn't have much of a problem either. And I mean, these trailers, the 1708 FB that you bought and my old 1706 FB, you know, 3,000 drive, probably 4,000. I mean, GVRW could get up to 7,000 pounds. That's because these trailers have such a humongous, load capacity. You know, it's really incredible. And as I said, I'm going to make a video about towing very soon, and I'm going to talk about all those weights and measures and stuff. But you shouldn't be afraid as long as you have the proper truck, you know, at least the Colorado that I have, or even something bigger, you shouldn't have a problem going through Tioga Pass. By the way, beautiful drive coming in and out of Yosemite through the east entrance.
Hi, Robert. My name is Abby. I contacted you yesterday regarding purchasing your CDs, and I'm just wondering if I can get like an format, like electronically, like MP3 or something, instead of buying the actual CD. Can you please let me know so that I can make the payment through PayPal like you wanted, and then you can send it to me electronically. Okay, so let me know. Okay, again, it's Abby. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for inquiring about my music. Of course, my CD is available at travelingrobert.com/merch. But if you want to get like a digital copy, like MP3s, everywhere that sells digital music, I'm there. Search for my name, Robert Morales, Travel Music, and you will find it. I mean, if you want to help me out, buy them through CD Baby directly, because they give me a bigger profit margin, you know, a bigger cut of the sale. But otherwise, you know, I'm on Spotify, I'm on Apple Music, Google, Amazon, everywhere. So check it out there, and then you can download all my music. Thank you.
Hi, Robert. This is the Naranjo family from Miami, Florida. This is the first time we're reaching out to you, but we've been following you and watching your videos for a while. We would like to try out the RVing experience now. I'm wondering if that's possible, if there's any problems out there on the road. If you could give us a heads up, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, Naranjo family, we're pretty much on the same boat. I've been stuck here in Miami for the past 2 months. I haven't really traveled much except going to Publix and the post office and my mom's a couple of times. But it is my understanding Florida state parks are taking reservations as of the 16th. As of the 20th, Miami is pretty much starting to open up phase one. And by the end of the month, I plan to do some you know, traveling. I'm not gonna go anywhere far away yet, but as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, there's that map, that resource that my wife found, and I'm gonna put a link in the show notes, travelingroberts.com/podcast/0143. And that's where you can find that information of what's open, what's closed, what cities, even it has the granularity that goes down to what cities are still having ordinances, like what places you have to put a face mask on, what places it is mandatory or voluntary in that case. So yeah, good resource. And I mean, this summer we're going to have to play by ear. We're going to have to play by ear and at the same time be flexible and plan a lot, because I don't want to go into a place where then they're going to make me, stay 14 days in quarantine after leaving that place. So I don't want to do that. So, it's going to take some planning for sure.
Hello, Robert. I would like to ask you a question. I have a Volvo XC90 that can only tow a maximum of 5,000 pounds. I would like to know if your truck is in the same or maybe a little bit more, or do you never carry the full amount of weight in the trailer to keep it under the 5,000 pounds? Because I was looking at those Winnebago mini trailers like you have, and some of them are like 7,000 GBW. So just a question I'd like to know. Thanks.
Hey, Hector. Don't quote me, but you're probably going to be okay. And let me say why. You know, like these trailers, maybe, you know, the GVRW is 7,000. But the dry weight is 3,000, 3,500 or so. If you're talking something like the 1708 FB that I have. And from 3,500 to 7,000, that's 3,500 pounds of cargo capacity. That's a lot. I mean, you have to put a lot of stuff in there to reach. That's these trailers, they have a humongous cargo capacity, and that's a good thing. So if you keep it light, you're probably never going to reach that 7,000 pounds. And if you're able to tow 5,000 with your truck, I mean, Don't go crossing the Rockies now on me, or tackling some off-road hills or anything like that, you know. But as long as you drive conservatively on relatively flat terrain, you don't wanna make this the expense on a different tow vehicle, just be careful out there, you know. Don't go over 65 miles per hour, and you're probably gonna be all right. That being said, if you wanna be even safer, I would go for at least a light truck that is capable of towing 7,000 pounds. But that's just my opinion. I used to tow by my old 1706 with old Kia, which was rated, quote unquote, rated for 3,500 pounds. Although I read anecdotally that it was actually 5,000 pounds, that they just lowered it to 3,500 because it didn't have a transmission cooler and other things. But I think you'll be fine. Just drive conservatively and stay in relatively flat terrain, and I think you'll be fine. And drive with your tanks empty. If you can, you know, because, you know, a gallon of water is 800 pounds. Hello, Robert. A gallon of water is 8 pounds. So if you travel with 40 gallons of water, that's 320 pounds extra that perhaps you don't need. Thank you so much for your question.
Traveling, Robert. My husband and I have been watching your videos and enjoy seeing all the places that you have been. We also travel, but we travel by motorcycle. We would like to know how you deal with paying for things on the road. We had our debit card hacked, and we were wondering, how do you prevent this from happening? This is from Doberman and Mama Bear. We would love to hear from you. Thank you.
Hi, Doberman and Mamba Bear. Thank you so much for your question. And this is how I do it. I travel with several credit cards and a little bit of cash, of course, just in case. But I only use one credit card for everything. And it's also convenient when it comes to accounting. You know, at the end of the year, when I have to figure out my expenses for tax purposes, it's all in one place or in a couple of places. If it's not on that credit card, it is on PayPal or probably Amazon. I can figure everything out through there. That's what I do. I mean, I've had my credit cards not hacked, but, you know, cloned a couple of times. But it's not that common. I mean, it seems in my lifetime, it's happened a couple of times. And most recently at a car rental company, of all places. Which is the place that you cannot pay cash. For gas stations and everything that I do, it goes on that same credit card. And of course, I carry cash because cash is king. And you know, it's always good to have a little bit of cash for those places that don't take credit card or if, you know, the power goes out, whatever. you know how it is. And with that, I want to thank you all for your courage. I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the podcast. It's been a couple of rough months for all of us, but I think we're coming out of it slowly but surely. And in the end, to quote someone that I forgot who he is or she is, but I've heard it many times, and these are words to live by. The worst thing to fear is fear itself. And the only thing that I really fear is like flying insects and cockroaches. Everything else is, you know, we're gonna get through this eventually. That's it for this episode of Living the RV Dream podcast. I'm gonna leave you with a song, and let me figure out which song I haven't played in a long time. And by the way, I want to thank all of you who have purchased the CD, either the plastic version or the digital version online, travelingrobert.com/merch. I also have t-shirts, I have stickers. I want to thank Techno RV. I'm an affiliate with them, and whatever, whenever you buy is something technology for your RV, instead of defaulting to Amazon, check them out. You know, travelingrobert.com/technoRV. They give you superb customer service, and they're very nice folk. They have that Southern hospitality charm, Eric and Tammy Johnson, and very nice folks. Today I'm going to leave you with one of the first. It's not one of the first, but it's from. I think I came up with it inspired by the first time we visited the Grand Canyon. And this was in 2005. And I wrote this song shortly after for our second visit to the Grand Canyon. It is called Desert Song. And I'm going to play part two, which is, it's like, what's it called? The Grand Canyon, Desert Song part two. And the beginning, as you are listening now, it's inspired by the first time I saw a sunset and then a sunrise from the Grand Canyon. Until next week, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because we are free. I'm free in my RV.